We're reading from Kabbalah for the student, page 115, Introduction to the Book of Zohar, item 12. You can ask questions during the lesson at kab.tv. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. So, item 12. Again, Kabbalah for the student, Introduction to the Book of Zohar, page 115, item 12. Thus we have clearly explained the correction of the will to receive, imprinted in the souls by the thought of creation. For the Creator has prepared for them two systems, one opposite the other, through which the souls pass and divide into two discernments, body and soul, which dress in one another. And through Torah and Mitzvot, they finally turn the form of the will to receive to be as the form of the will to bestow. And then they can receive all the goodness in the thought of creation. And along with it, they are rewarded with a solid adhesion with Him. Because through the work in Torah and Mitzvot, they have been rewarded with equivalence of form with their Maker. This is deemed the end of correction. And then, since there will be no longer be a need for the evil Sitra Achra, it will be eliminated from the earth and death shall cease forever. And all the work in Torah and Mitzvot that was given to the world during the 6,000 years of the existence of the world and to each person for the duration of 170 years of life, are to bring them to the end of correction, the above-mentioned equivalence of form. The issue of the formation and extension of the system of klipot and impurity from His Holiness has also been thoroughly clarified now. It had to be in order to extenuate the creation of the bodies, which would then be corrected through Torah and Mitzvot. And if our bodies, with their corrupted will to receive, were not extended through the impure system, we would never be able to correct it, for one cannot correct that which is not in him.
I just want to add that all those systems exist within us. Inside of us, there is nothing besides the human being, except from him. And all the vessels, the corrupted, the broken, the worlds, the levels, the degrees, all of this is found within our desire to receive. All in all, that if it is revealed, it is revealed in phases. Phases of corruption and phases of correction. Once towards this direction and the other time towards the other. According to the efforts one has to make by or a stick which is called in its time Be'ito or by his own efforts which is called Achishena, hastening it. And this is how we draw closer. But all in all, we exist within our desire to our desire and everything is found only within it. That's it. Do you have questions? Go ahead. No questions. What? What does that mean that those systems are the creation of the body? The body is a desire to receive.
We don't feel the desire to receive in us?
It does exist within us, but in a concealed manner. What do I feel my desire to receive? What do I feel besides a desire that belongs to this world?
So what desire to receive are we talking about?
About a greater desire to receive, which includes all the worlds. Go on.
If I understand correctly, when he speaks about the systems of impurity here, etc., it's the same system that we decide whether it's impurity or sanctity. Our relation to reality is what changes an item from impure to pure, if it's a reception or bestowal.
So what?
So the whole of reality is like tools for us to use that we should collect.
question
well,
is
to reveal the them. Question is give us an exercise for us to do during the day that we can make an action.
Pick within yourself. That's the exercise I can give you. Next. That's it. Go ahead.
Item 13. Indeed, we still need to understand how the will to receive for oneself, which is so flawed and corrupted, could extend from and be in the thought of creation in Ensof, whose unity is beyond words and beyond description. The thing is that by the very thought to create the souls, his thought completed everything. For he does not need an act, as do we. Instantaneously all the souls and worlds were destined to be created, emerged filled with all the delight and pleasure and the gentleness he had planned for them, in the final perfection that the souls were intended to receive at the end of correction. After the will to receive in the souls has been fully corrected and was turned into pure bestowal. In complete equivalence of form with the emanator. This is so because in his eternalness, past, present, and future are as one. The future is as the present, and there is no such thing as time in him. Hence, there was never an issue of a corrupted will to receive in its separated state in Ein Sof. On the contrary, that equivalence of form destined to be revealed at the end of correction appeared instantly in the infinite. And our sages said about that, before the world was created, there were he is one and his name one. For the separated form in the will to receive had not been revealed in the reality of the souls that emerged in the thought of creation. Rather, they were cleaved unto him in equivalence of form by way of he is one and his name one.
Meaning, to begin with, the Creator has created everything out of his utter perfection, and out of this utter complete perfection, out of which the light has created the desire to receive, it created it in its utter perfection, beside the only thing that has to be absent in this creation, meaning the room for the actions on behalf of the creature. So that by doing so, the creature will be able to attain the whole of creation, to use the whole of creation in order to reach that degree of the Creator, to reach perfection and adhesion. And out of this, everything was done. This is why when we reveal ourselves in this entire process, we need to understand that with respect to the Creator, there's no process but perfection. The first, the second, and the third states are as one for Him. Okay? What do you want, Tamiko? Don't think that you can come once a week and ask constantly. Just that
you were angry on me on Tuesday, so I was afraid to come out yesterday.
Look, what a gentle person you are.
There is an unclear issue in terms of equivalence of form. He says there's no past, present, and future. From the moment the person reaches the final correction, basically the equivalence of form is that past, present, and future are cancelled for him. So what value is there for time?
Don't continue. You cannot speak this way because you don't understand what time is. And in general, what is the meaning of above time, higher than time? So why are you asking about things that do not exist, nor in your mind, nor in your sensations? No, I don't want to engage in philosophy.
No, it's not philosophy.
It's philosophy according to the definition of Kabbalists, if we're talking about something that is not clothed in our matter.
The thing that is clothed in our matter right now is concealment before the revelation.
Concealment you also do not attain. It does not clothe in your matter.
So what does clothe in my matter?
Nothing. You can speak about bestiality, whatever you ate yesterday. That's it. I'm telling you, seriously, how do you dare to speak about things that are so... And also to philosophize regarding it. It is an abstract form, and there's nothing, no need to talk about it.
It's not about philosophizing. It's about asking about the purpose of this. What is the purpose during the concealment if in eternity there's already a revelation, correct?
There's no eternity. There's no revelation. There's nothing. We're talking only with respect to the creature. With respect to me, there's nothing.
I'm talking about the creature. He's talking here about the state that eventually reaches the end of correction.
If we'll reach the end of correction, we'll reach it.
And it says in the beginning of creation already that...
Correct. Within me, within my desire to receive, somewhere it is registered.
So the time is divided to both concealment and revelation. The time of the creature that was created is divided to concealment and revelation. Then what's the purpose of the time of concealment?
The creation of the Kli. How many times can I repeat that?
And after that, there's any purpose to it?
The concealment remains. It sustains the Kli. How can it vanish? Otherwise, how the fulfillment will be felt?
That's exactly what I'm asking. Since I'm in concealment.
So your question is, how does the fulfillment does not annul the concealment? How the fulfillment
yes.
does not annul the Kli? Because it uses it in order to bestow. I couldn't imagine myself that you would be asking about it. I'm ashamed. If I would have been you. That's the trick. That the light will not cancel the vessel. If the light appears within the Kli, it completely annuls it. But how can the light not annul the Kli? Only by a Masach. Then there will be both darkness and light, and they will both sustain one another. Darkness will shine as light. He explains you in different, in thousands of different examples.
So really the time of concealment right now is the Masach for the time
no,
of...
No, it's not a Masach. It's the oil to which you need to later bring a Masach, a wick, a ptila, and then the light that will come will have something to hold on to.
So the suffering that we now go through is the material, I don't know how to define it, it's the good in our next corrected state.
In the corrected state, you'll feel it as good. For the time being, suffer. I don't understand the questions. Let's continue.
Item 14. Thus, you necessarily find that on the whole there are three states to the soul. The first state is their present in Ensof, in the thought of creation, where they already have the future form of the end of correction. Where they already have there the future form of the end of correction. The second state is their presence in the 6,000 years which were divided by the above two systems into a body and a soul. They were given the work in the Torah and Mitzvot in order to invert their will to receive and turn it into a will to bestow, contentment upon their Maker, and not at all to themselves. During the time of that state, no correction will come to the bodies, only to the souls. This means that they must eliminate any form of self-reception, which is considered the body, and remained with but a desire to bestow, which is the form of desire in the souls. Even the souls of the righteous will not be able to rejoice in the Garden of Eden after their demise, but only after their bodies rot in the dust. The third state is the end of correction for the souls, after the revival of the dead. At that time, the complete correction will come to the bodies, too, for then they will turn reception for themselves, which is the form of the body, to take on the form of pure bestowal. And they will become worthy of receiving for themselves all the light, the delight and pleasure and pleasantness in the thought of creation. And with all that, they will attain strong adhesion by the force of their equivalence of form with their Maker, since they will not receive all that because of their desire to receive, but because of their desire to bestow contentment upon their Maker, since He derives pleasure when they receive from Him. And for the purposes of brevity, from now on, I will use the names of these three states, namely first state, second state, and third state. And you should remember all that is explained here in every state.
So he's telling us a simple thing. What we've already learned more than once, both from the introduction to TASS and from other articles. What have we studied, actually? That we have the state of preparation, as we are undergoing now, and then we have the degree of fear, bina, chafetz chesed, delighting in mercy, bestowing in order to bestow, and then the degree of love, to receive in order to bestow. And these three degrees is what we undergo. What does that mean, undergo? That same desire to receive of ours that is being more and more revealed is accordingly corrected. First of all, by a restriction, then with the attribute of Bina, and later with the attribute of Chokhmah, until it reaches Keter. And that's called the state that he calls here the first state. And you necessarily find that there are three states to the souls in general that they undergo in the process of their correction. The first state is their existence in itself. That's something we understand in the thought of creation, where we have the future form of the end of correction. The second state is their presence in the 6,000 years. These are the states which we undergo from here onwards, which exists in the system of Abiyah, and they divide into body and soul. And the third state is when they return to Ein Sof. But the state in which we work in the worlds of Bi'ah, the second state is the state which we go through in the process of preparation from the degree of Bina to the degree of Keter, until we reach the degree of Keter. Yes.
Yesterday we concluded the lesson with a question about the place of the corporeal world in the process of Abiyah. And your last words were that due to the shattering, right afterwards, we began to feel the corporeal world.
After the breakage, we...
Well, we, as in the creatures...
No. After the breakage, there were no creatures yet. No. I didn't mean that. Maybe you're right, and maybe it sounded this way out of my words, but the breakage or the shattering is the breakage of Adam HaRishon, not the world of Nikudim. So in the breakage of Adam HaRishon, there was no creature yet. Adam HaRishon is in a higher system that is still called an angel, a force, and it doesn't yet have something that needs correction. It undergoes the same phases which we study in Malchut Ein Sof, that there is he has to reveal the gap between him and the Creator, and he himself is found in a state called Gan Eden, heaven. And when it is revealed as a result of a breakage, as a result of his fall and distancing from the Creator, then it turns out that there is such a discernment and a broken desire to receive, such a low discernment that is called our world, not this world, meaning our world, which we feel when we exist in a certain when we feel that we're found in a certain reality, you can say that it's an imaginary reality or not, that we're dreaming and we're actually found, and it doesn't matter. There are many thoughts about it. But all in all, it is this reality is called our world. And from this world, we start to awaken. And when we awaken, we only reveal what is found within us. We don't reveal anything new. Out of our desire, if we relate to it properly, then we find within it, we reveal within it, time after time, inner more layers. And that's how we grow. So, in these layers, which we reveal more and more within us, there are degrees, which are the worlds of Biyah, Tzilut, and etc. Till a state called in Sof, everything is revealed within our desire, only that now we reveal a small desire, like, let's say, an infant, and then we reveal greater and greater desires. And they're different in their qualities, and our relation towards that inner force which revives us within us, that is called the Creator. We don't know who the Creator is, what is it, but I want to attain Him, because He is found within me, He revives me. I want to attain this root of mine, Him. So they're telling us that one can attain Him only by resembling to Him, and then you'll attain. You don't actually attain Him, because He's unattainable. Whether you will attain His attributes, His qualities, His relation, His actions upon you, if you will make the same actions, just as He's acting towards you, the same way out of His actions you will know Him, meaning you will understand Him. That's called that you will attain Him. I cannot enter within the landlord, within the host. I can make actions out of which, actions of resemblance, out of which I'll understand who is He, what is He, how does He think, what does He want. That's what I can do.
I wanted to ask a very precise question that bothers me for a few years now. What was the last action that happened right before what we are familiar with the Big Bang? In spirituality.
There's no we. I don't know what you're talking about. Both in the spiritual worlds, there's no we. We is that same desire which we now reveal, and that's it. What are you talking about, us and the Big Bang? What a Big Bang and what us? I don't know what you're talking about. After I am existing, I exist here, I'm found here, I start revealing everything I can reveal. I'm able to reveal. So the sages come and tell us, we had a Big Bang. What does that mean, that we've had a Big Bang? We have such a software in our mind that has this issue of time, and according to that program, it once happened. I don't understand, what does it mean, once?
We once didn't feel time. We weren't on the level of time, above time. Once, as in before the shattering. Then there was a shattering, and then now we feel time.
So?
What happened right before we began to feel time?
Who felt time?
I now feel time. Now it's a fact.
Now you do feel time, yes. But after the breakage, you didn't exist. I'm sorry.
Now I exist once there was a shattering.
Once, it's in your mind, you call it once. There's no such thing as once. You imagine it to yourself, that there used to be once. You have within your mind such a discernment which gives you the feeling of time, as if something happened yesterday. That's it. So?
Yes. Since we are in the corporeal world.
No, let's say that it's the reason.
Before we fell to here, what happened right before that? I know you understand me.
The problem is that I cannot answer you in a way that you will understand me. How to clothe it properly. I don't know. I can't just tell you that there's no time. It's not an answer. Only that what Kabbalists depict or explain to us. What Kabbalists depict us to us. It is all found within us, in our roots. I evolve in my desire to receive. And the desire to receive that develops, that evolves, starts revealing me the present, the future, and the past. It is because the desire to receive develops. It is not because the future, the past, and the present exist. These are special discernments within the desire to receive. So you're asking about time. It is just like asking, your question about time is like asking about just a plain state. There is no such thing that I... There is no such thing as saying that I used to exist sometime after the Big Bang. We're talking about in terms of time because we have no choice. That's our language. We cannot do it differently. That's our software. That's our program. That's how we're programmed. We have to write and express and spill it out. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had the force of expression, the ability to express ourselves. There was no Big Bang. There was no past. And also there's no future. These are states. If I have in my hands the entire desire and the whole of the masach, I can move back and forth in those states wherever I want to and to whenever I want to. That's my... the excess of time for me. So what are you asking according to this explanation? I don't know.
Let's say in the direction of...
You mean past.
Above. Yeah, no, in the direction from below upwards.
Upwards is to the future or to the past?
To the future.
From below upwards.
Yeah, from below upwards. Adam Rishon was broken. Now there's a process called 6,000 years of correction. We are in that process now? Because in spirituality, that 6,000 years...
Let's say that we do.
But there's no time. Every level there's no time between the levels.
Where is there? There's also no space. It's only within your desire. Within you. Within your desire, time, motion, space, that's how you feel it, within your desire. If it is slightly in these qualities, that's called time, past, present, future. If it's slightly in other qualities, that's called space. It could be narrow, it could be wide, etc.
We say that when time is passing here, it doesn't mean that we advance in spirituality.
Of course. Because your time here is an illusion that you exist. You are found now in a certain desire, which is the still of the still, the inanimate of the inanimate, and it gives you this illusion that you are alive and that you die, that you exist. This desire does not change. It changes only according to you, only with respect to you, as a replication of higher, more desires. So it gives you this sensation. You feel these phases as in spirituality. And it seems to you that you exist, that you're alive. That's only a replication from the spiritual time, meaning from the degrees, from the changes within them. An imprint of these degrees in the dead matter of the desire to receive.
When did we start this process?
There's no such thing. What do you mean, when have we started? Which process?
The process of correction from below upwards.
You haven't started it yet.
You just said we're in this process.
So we need to start it yet. We haven't started yet. Now you're talking about people in whom the point in the heart evokes and they start. When do they start?
Let's say, yeah.
When they receive the point in the heart, you already start corrections, these corrections. Also, beforehand you start the corrections, but these are corrections which are not on their expense. From, you might say that, no, but it's impossible.
Okay, last question.
Let's say from Adam Rishon in our world and onwards. From this degree onwards, we start the corrections. Up till Adam Rishon, it is still the development of the inanimate, the vegetative, and the living. And they start rising along with Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon is the root for the corrections. Well, so there used to live such an Adam, a human being, called, whose name was Adam. His parents just accidentally named him this way.
When he was born, that was the point of when from above downwards finished, and then...
No. It is not that point of bifurcation. It is a point from which the matter already started to be corrected.
And what is that point from which we begin, we end above downwards, and we begin from below upwards?
When the incorporation was over after the shattering. That's it. That's it. I don't know what you're talking about. Our world, what seems to you, what doesn't seem to you. We also don't speak about Adam Rishon as someone who existed in our body. We're talking about a certain structure that is called, meaning a certain desire called Adam, which already had a body and his name was Adam and he lived in this world. It seems to others that he did exist as a human being. So what? So it seems to them. We're talking about his attribute of that same creature. Do we relate to the body? Of course not. Yes. Omri from the Arava is asking, is the equivalence of form to him and his name are one, like before the creation of the world, will be revealed by the souls, one still feels separation, and that will be called the... Is the equivalence of form to him and his name are one, just like it was before the creation of the world, will be revealed by the separated souls, once they will feel that they're truly in separation. And is this the revival of the dead?
How is it possible to feel when I'm in separation something that is in unity? How is it possible? The entire attainment is in the will to receive based on equivalence of form. If I'm in separation, I attain separation. If I'm in unity, I attain unity. Where else will I attain it? I see it as something happening on the outside over there. That's what you call over there. It's all inside of me. What I attain is what I attain. That's it, based on my qualities. There is no reality outside my qualities. Including what I feel and see right now, this world, what's happening to it, time, place, and motion, perception of reality in large, it's all inside of me. It's all based on my qualities.
Omri, I hope he'll forgive me. I'll try to interpret what he's asking.
I feel
in what he's asking, that he's saying whether the beginning of the process is like recognition of evil. I understand that I'm separated, and only then I can say that I've started something.
If you feel that you are separated, then you're separated. So what? So the question is?
Is this the beginning of the process, and it could be called the revival of the dead? The resurrection of the dead?
It's the beginning of the process, yeah, and it's called revival of the dead. Why revival of the dead? I don't understand. Revival of the dead happens at the end, when I revive my will to receive, to make it in order to bestow. even when I restrict the will to receive, it's not the revival of the dead yet. Even when I bestow in order to bestow, it's not revival of the dead. Only if I work in receiving in order to bestow, and not even in all of the desires, but those desires that were really dead, then it's called revival of the dead. It's that will to receive that fourth phase of it, that I begin to correct it in order to bestow. That means reviving it from its dead state.
Alexander Ledovskoy from Moscow is asking, what is the meaning of the verse that it stemmed out of the Creator immediately, meaning are all degrees and spirituality equal? It is written that he thought, in the beginning of the thought, the Creator, the creatures, his thought completed everything because it doesn't need a vessel to implement his actions, and thus the souls were realized at once.
Yes, and?
So does that mean that all the degrees and spirituality are equal? What is the meaning of stemming immediately?
It's two things. If it emerged right away or equal or not equal. But of course, for the Creator, there's no intermediate state. The light is at complete rest, and from the beginning it created only one state. And towards that state, we are in a scrutiny, examination. That state cannot appear to us because I'm incapable of facing it. That state gets reduced by 125 degrees, and I always discover only one degree above myself. That's how, in steps, I can rise each time, until I come to the complete state.
So a student from Kfar Saba is asking, is there a cause and a consequence in spirituality? How does this
There is no cause and consequence as well. It's all in my will to receive. Time for us is some factor that's outside of me. The moon, the sun, and minutes and seconds, something that exists outside of me. In spirituality, there is no outside of me, because in spirituality, we approach the will to receive and all the actions happen in the will to receive. If I make actions one after the other, that means that I determine times in that way. If I make an action, and then let's say in our clock, 10 years after I'll do another actions, that would be called 2 seconds. But with respect to this world, it's 10 years. So I don't take into account any outside factor. There is no solar system or my pulse or anything that gives me the sense of time. The sense of time is only my actions. And what could be between the actions and spirituality? There is nothing between the actions, because an action brings about another action and another action. If I constantly rise spiritually, it means that my actions are continuous, nonstop. So there's no time.
You want a definition of time and space?
They always get confused with it, yes.
I want to ask about it from a perspective of dissemination. We're constantly saying that when we start something, you have to first depict the good state, the state that is desirable, and only from here we start our work. Whereas when we address the people, it is usually easier to them, and they want to hear about what's wrong. That's what we think. Why our approach is always such that we first should depict the state, the desirable state, and only from there we should start.
It depends on what dissemination. If we're talking about our students, so we're talking about Ein Sof, infinity, from which we draw all the forces to which we yearn. It's the goal, because we have a spark that comes from infinity and we want to actualize that spark. If we're talking about common people on the street, then we have to draw their picture of Ein Sof and show how it's possible to achieve it through our method. Everyone has his own picture of Ein Sof, infinity. So your question is?
there's an approach or a tendency to many times to say, look, we're all we're having problems, we feel bad, etc., 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 and from there to draw closer and start talking about the good. And we're saying, no, let's first depict together, let's build.
Look, in my lectures, I usually start from the current state because it's understood by people somehow. And I can't approach them in the middle of the lecture and start depicting a rosy state to them because they'll think I'm some, you know, utopian fantasizing person. So that's it. If it's a one-time lecture, I only start from the current state. Why have we come to it? By the evolving ego. Throughout history, we've come to the current state. And then from this point, on this axis of time, where are we headed? And how can we assist to our necessary development so that this development will be good to us and instead of feel bad? That's usually my entire explanation for any one-time lecture. Yes.
When we're talking about a course or about something that we want to bring a person to a certain understanding.
If a person comes to a course, does he have a background already or not?
We're telling him there's a course. His boss brought him to a course or something.
If he has no background and it's a first lecture, then it needs to be like that because it gives a person that a feeling that he's being taught something good for life that he's worth, that he should know. So certainly it's good to start from how I start in my lecture. Now the second thing is, why did his boss decide on this course? It's not just to fill up their time, but there's a need for it, there's a purpose to it. You have to show him personal benefit. Only then you bring him into the actual course. He has to know that he's going to attain great things. He has to know that otherwise he won't know how to cope with life, and this is helping him. He's getting some new tools here to be successful in the new era and so on. You have to show him the light ahead.
So we do depict the good, the bright future he will attain out of it?
Yes. So, yeah, we have to do it, so.
Okay. If we'll return to the text in item 14... I have a question. He's saying that after we invert the vessels into vessels of bestowal, they become worthy of receiving all the good and bounty and pleasance in that was thought in the purpose of creation, and alongside with it, they will attain strong adhesion. And my question is, if adhesion is something that is much, much more powerful, qualitative, sublime, than that good
yes.
and bounty.
Yes, I'll tell you why.
Why do we need the good and bounty?
I'll tell you why, and you'll understand. I have my vessels, the will to receive. In these vessels, I receive in order to bestow. By doing so, I make an action of bestowal that is like what the Creator does to me. That's what I do to Him. However, why did I make this action of receiving in order to bestow? Because I've discovered, say, that shame, the gap between me and him. So then I go towards bestowing in order to bestow, then receiving in order to bestow, in order to resemble him. In my action of resembling him, I fill up my vessels with that pleasure of bestowal to him. And with it, I actualize that shame, that gap between me and him, the host and me, right? and thus I attain adhesion. There are two deficiencies here. The deficiency that He created in me to receive and to enjoy. And I fill it up to receive and to enjoy for Him. And the second is that what comes from the shame, I make the restriction and all of that, and that I fill up with attaining Him. Who is He? And then, when me and Him become the same, that's where I attain adhesion. There are two things here. Sorry. The head and the body, and the head and the body. So in the bodies we're equal, and in the head we're equal. Obviously, God forbid I'm not materializing it, but just so you understand. So because the Creator is a patsuf to me, I attain Him with body and the head. So it's the desire. His desire is to benefit the creatures, my desire to receive pleasure. That's what's below, here, the bodies. Above is the intentions, Him and mine. So that's where the adhesion is. Clear? Yes, Moshi, quickly.
Let's say if I look at the day that is ahead of me, I have 24 hours to come. I have a lot of opportunities to reach the virtue of bestow. Now, I have a program. How am I concerned more for the human society, etc.? I have a program for the whole day, a plan. How do I advance? You said that from one action to the other, 10 years can pass by. I don't have a program regarding to how can this day pass in a way that I'll advance towards the attribute of bestow.
So now, before you leave the lesson, with all our groups that we see on the screens, with all the individual we have with us studying all over the world, and those who are going to still watch the lesson within the next 24 hours, those who can't watch this live because they're working right now or sleeping or whatever, let's all agree that we hold each other up together in a way that no one forgets, that only in the connection we discover the Creator. That I always think about that, how to discover the Creator in the connection. That's it, nothing besides that. That the means, the kli, is connecting ourselves, connecting between us. That's the result, the desired result from the shattering. And in that connection, we'll discover Him. Meaning that force of love, bestowal, fulfillment, eternal life, doesn't matter how you call it. That's it. Yes.
I don't understand these words. I understand this. I have a body. I live in time, ocean, and space. I can disseminate 20 hours.
Now?
I can go to sleep.
No, so do work 20 hours with the concern that no one in the world, from our friends, those who have a point in the heart, no one should forget that through the connection we build our vessel for discovering the Creator. If we all think about it, as strong as much as we can. No one demands us more than what we can. As much as we're capable, we'll do it, it'll appear. It's all in our hands. Did we agree?
I don't have
okay, that's
the,
it.
The vessels to...
What are you weakening us? What vessel do you need? You do have a vessel to think about it. Think, start thinking. And we will worry about everyone, including you, so that you won't forget. It's impossible. You see, if the beginning starts with a doubt, it ruins everything. It destroys everything. Yes.
Why? I have a body. I can give you an example. I will work this during the whole day. I will show everyone how much I'm concerned for everyone.
Yes. No, you should have a concern in your heart. What your body? I don't care about your body. What do you...
That's what I have.
No, the work is in your desire. The desire means your heart. What's the body? The body is where you work for your boss. You always have to be in concern, a concern in your heart of how are you going to achieve that quality of bestowal, connection and love. Let's conclude.
Announcements. All of us. We. Dissemination meeting for the Israeli vessel. Tomorrow, 9 a.m., we'll have a professional training in dissemination in the internet. So we're inviting all of you, our viewers and our friends in the groups. The training will occur in the next branches of the Arvut movement. In Kfar Nasi, Haifa, Hadera, Chulon, Petach Tikva, Modein, Ashkelon, Be'er Sheva, Eilat. And it will be broadcasted in Sviva Tova. Admission is free. The Kabbalah La'am Academy invites you for an exciting adventure, an acquaintance lesson, an introductory lesson for free today at 6:30 p.m. Israeli time in Kfar Saba, Zichron Yaakov, and Kibbutz Revadim. No admission, entrance is free. You can find out more details in 1-700-509-219. A convention of unity in the north. We meet again from the 5th to the 7th of July for a convention of mutual unity and connection in the north. We'll have lessons, meals, mutual demand from Thursday till Saturday in the farm of Monfort Tweedo in Park Goren. For registration, 1-700-509-219 in cab.co.il or cab info. This concludes your lesson. Thank you and have a wonderful day or night.
Once a wise man said, I wonder if we could unite humanity into a single man with one heart and one body. I'll cover him with love. It's the only thing we must learn. 'Cause we came from one point into this point we will return. We are warriors racing towards